God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
The world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, said, "Let there be light." And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I just spent a couple hours this morning recording a podcast focused on the Book of Lamentations. Because the Book of Lamentations is us. Clearly, it was written probably by the prophet Jeremiah, who had warned Israel, if you continue in your treacherous ways against God, you're going to pay a price. You're going to see your kids taken off into captivity, and they were, and ours, all too many are, by gender ideology and sexual ideology, racial ideology. He'd warned them that your enemies will be making their way through the synagogues and temples, and you're going to have your adversaries controlling you, and you're going to be paying your adversaries. And so we see China buying our farmlands and the inherent water rights. We are undergoing a planned and orchestrated massive invasion with the sole purpose of empowering those in power and creating a permanent and complete shift to cities running the country. It is a way around the Electoral College. It is to make the cities so full of bodies of all types, homeless people, drug addicts, people who've been allowed to enter the country illegally. Now they are bidding wars to get them to come to the separate countries like California and New York, bidding wars. Who will give them more so that they can more quickly seize control of the country from an Electoral College basis to permanently change it into a one-party state, that party being part of a one-party government of a global nature, taking a step toward the Book of Revelation. That's it. That's everything. So that podcast is available today that I just spent 2 hours doing. You can go to the toddhermanshow.com. You can get that. And if you want to see the video version, you can subscribe. And on AFR, no one in media is more important right now than this radio network. Because of the ability for people to tune in happenstantially and hear the word of God spoken around political topics. And we do need to talk about this act of theater last night, and I don't want to bear false witness. This stands on the fence of bearing false witness. So I'll say it this way: in my judgment, that man was drugged on probably Adderall, and I don't know what else, perhaps cocaine. And no, I'm not kidding. It used to be that I was the only one who would speak things like that. Now many people in conservative media are saying the same thing. But let's start here. The figurehead's motorcade was obstructed, delaying the official business of he and Congress, which is supposedly what the January 6th people are in prison for having done. Now remember, they stopped an official proceeding. Furthermore, from a security perspective, that's a nightmare. The figurehead in his car, or the car we let him use on the way there, is surrounded by people, none of whom have been through a metal detector. But he's ensconced in the car, which is called what? The Beast. That's what it's called. So after he got through the fences that had been put up, because fences work, and because they wanted to bring back the theater of January 6th, the figurehead, once in Congress, pushes for more war in Ukraine and says Trump bowed down before Putin.
Overseas, Putin of Russia is on the march, invading Ukraine and sowing chaos throughout Europe and beyond. If anybody in this room thinks Putin will stop at Ukraine, I assure you he will not. Ukraine can stop Putin if we stand with Ukraine and provide the weapons. But now, assistance to Ukraine is being blocked by those who want to walk away from our world leadership. Now my predecessor, a former Republican president, tells Putin, quote, do whatever the hell you want. That's a quote. A former president actually said that, bowing down to a Russian leader. I think it's outrageous, it's dangerous, and it's unacceptable.
So a man on stimulants misquotes President Trump, who was talking about the refusal of other countries to properly fund their military, instead turning to have us do it through NATO, paying the bills and having our troops put at risk, says that President Trump was saying, go do whatever the blank you want. He didn't make that invitation. He was an admonition to these other countries. If you are going to have to fund more of your own military, we're not going to do it for you. And if you don't, you would be saying to Putin, Putin is not causing chaos in Europe. They're causing it. They decided to get down to one fuel source. They decided to get down to a point where all of a sudden now they have to bring back nuclear. And they sowed their own seeds of destruction. And our country caused the coup in Ukraine. Well, instigated it. That has led to this. Figurehead Biden, before they were told you will make Ukraine the center of all things, warned us, if you put a NATO country on Putin's doorstep, he's going to respond with war. He knew it then. I don't know if he knows it now or not. I don't, and nor does anyone. Maybe he knows. Joe Biden banged the drums, the Jan 6 drum, had called Americans insurrectionists, and equated it all to the Civil War.
Just like History Watch 3 years ago on January 6th, yeah. When insurrectionists stormed this very Capitol and placed a dagger to the throat of American democracy. Many of you are here on that darkest of days. We all saw with our own eyes the insurrectionists were not patriots. They'd come to stop the peaceful transfer of power, to overturn the will of the people. January 6th lies about the 2020 election and the plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War. But they failed.
Remember this, that every Democrat of note has said that President Trump stole the election using Russia. Remember this, many of them of note did not want the Electoral College votes confirmed for President Trump. They ran ads paid for by leftist groups encouraging electors to not reflect the will of their voters, but instead to vote for their candidate. Remember that. We should lament. I didn't vote for the figurehead. I know the election was rigged. I believe it was stolen. We should lament for any role we've ever had in turning people away from God. I did it as a talk show host on one of the biggest platforms in the world. I made a god of government and of politics, and I apologize. I made it an idol. And if I did that to you, let me personally apologize to you. And let me ask that we put God back in the right place. So after that comment, Joe Biden fumbled his way through a disapproval of the Roe versus Wade decision, saved by zealous Dems before he continues his gaffe.
It's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following, and with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you get right about that.
So he's threatening them, effectively. And I remember when literal Orange Hitler, who worked for Putin, Donald Trump, was said to have done that. That was also a huge, huge threat to democracy, of course. I want to pause for a second and just reflect on a bit of reality. I'd mentioned the Book of Lamentations, because I've been focused on it, and the people of Israel turning away from God, And I hear the figurehead's obsession with making sure that babies can continue to be killed at industrial scale. And I'm reminded that the Israeli people, the Jewish people had turned and began worshiping once again the Baals. Even the kings of Israel have begun worshiping the Baals. What's one of the things the Baals want done? They want done children's sacrifice, child sacrifice to them, to kill children for them. The emotion Biden showed there, and I do think he was drugged, I think that's real. I think he hates people who won't kill babies. That's disturbing. It should be. I'm going to fast forward a little bit here, Randy, just a little bit further down. There's a couple things that I think are very, very important. And one of them is this push for the so-called Freedom to Vote Act, Clip 13. And this is here. This is Biden pushing for the Freedom to Vote Act after mentioning voter suppression and election subversion.
There are forces taking us back in time. Voter suppression, election subversion, unlimited dark money, extreme gerrymandering. John Lewis is a great friend to many of us here, but if you truly want to honor him and all the heroes who marched with him, then it's time to do more than talk. Pass the Freedom to Vote Act.
The Freedom to Vote Act would put the federal government in charge of state elections, full stop. So states that choose to have more secure elections, like my state in Idaho, where most people vote in person and you actually have to have an excuse to have a mail-in ballot and people check your ID three separate times, and your address and your signature, and votes are counted on one day, and you can go observe the counting if you ask in advance. You don't have to be a member of the party to do that. You can go do it. We wouldn't be allowed to do that anymore. That's a takeover. And gerrymandering, that is moving congressional districts around so you can have more representation here or there, on a national basis, by the end of this man's term in office, if he was ever allowed to continue, you could have 20 million illegal immigrants in this country moved into strategic voting districts to take over the country, making the cities now in charge of the country from an electoral college basis. That's the plan. That is gerrymandering. That is election rigging. That is vote suppression. But no one will call this out in the figureheads party because they get it. Now, remember that there was an insurrection by the Department of Justice's explanation when the pro-Hamas demonstrators stopped the figureheads motorcade and obstructed an official act of Congress. Well, I haven't seen them arrested. Clip 16, the figurehead gets heckled by a man screaming after Biden was screaming that America is safer today than when he took office.
All Americans deserve the freedom to be safe. And America is safer today than when I took office. Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%. 30% they went up. The biggest increase in history. It was then, through my American Rescue Plan, which every American voted against, I might add.
Every American voted against? The man screaming is a guy named Steve Nikui. His son, Kareem Nikui, was killed when figurehead Biden and the generals who run him chose to leave nearly $1 billion of equipment behind for the Taliban after giving up a secure air base, and getting down to one exit point, one extract point instead of two, so that the Taliban could more easily focus on the civilian airport. That man has been arrested. He's charged with three misdemeanors. The Hamas protesters, thus far, who obstructed the proceeding, have not been charged. There's more. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View.
We'll be right back.
Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I would ask, and we're going to get to more related to the figurehead speech last night. I would really ask you this weekend, if you have the, well, to make the opportunity, it is after all the word of God, to make the opportunity to open the book of Lamentations and read it. And as you're doing that, I would ask you to pray that God would give you insight, what you need to learn from it, and ask you to think about, as God reveals to you, as you read the passages and you prayerfully reflect on them, how it shows our nation in the state in which we live, the state of time. There's no time to God. He's timeless, always has been, always will be. He has already had the ending and the beginning. The end has already occurred to him. He knows. That's the great mystery and majesty of the Lord. We don't get to know all things. But if we, who have accepted the Lord Jesus, agreed to be changed by him, we've signified that through baptism, and we agree to walk with him, to abide in him, to let the Holy Spirit reside within us, which is the kingdom of heaven, residing in your body, this temple that God gives us. If you do that, you take those steps and you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what you must know from the book of Lamentations, I think we might arrive at the fact that we need a national week or year of lamenting. It's probably the prophet Jeremiah who wrote that book, and he, in the fifth portion, the fifth verse, it's set up as poetry, so the fifth verse, he calls out to God, how long will you turn your back from us? Bring us back, unless, the prophet says, unless you are so angry at us that you can't do that. I'm radically paraphrasing. We live in a new covenant. The Lord Jesus has promised he will be with us till the end of the age. And he already is, because he's also timeless, because he is also that same God. But the process of lamenting, the Lord Jesus spoke of repentance. True repentance involves sorrow. I plead with you to read that book this weekend of the Bible. I think we're going to spend more time in it on the program, because I think we need to see a national week or month or year in repentance. The figurehead gave a speech in which he talked continually about threats to what he calls democracy. We're a republic. That's not an accident. Democracies are easy to seize by people who program people like Joe Biden. And particularly when all the pieces are in place. We're going to talk about what was going on to one American as this was happening, as this act of theater was happening, where one insurrection, the stopping of a congressional proceeding and a presidential proceeding, the stopping of it, the seizing in place of a man who we are supposed to refer to as the sitting president, as that was allowed to happen. And the father of a dead Marine allowed to be killed by the figurehead and his general's radical incompetence or something else in Afghanistan, that man's arrested for shouting, charged with three misdemeanors. So far, the pro-Hamas demonstrators are not charged. There was another American behind the scenes being charged. But I beg you to know that the infrastructure is being put in place to charge you. This is coming from the separate country of Washington. This is a real bill. It is a bill that when the dictator of that state, Jay Inslee, signs it into law, because if it gets to his desk, he will. It's called Senate Bill 5427. And it would allow anyone to report a bias incident to the state attorney general. The attorney general of that state is the most corrupt attorney general in the country, in my judgment, and also the most dangerous. His name is Bob Ferguson. In all likelihood, he will seize the office of governor. When you see a bias incident and you report it, you can get paid up to $2,000 for this non-criminal incident. So you could earn $2,000 for saying, hey, I went into this church and a pastor said that marriage is between a man and a woman. That's a bias incident. give me $2,000. And they might give you that. They'll give you up to $2,000. And the pastor will get a knock on the door. Hello? I work with the Seattle Police Department. Hear about a bias incident. Could we come in, please? And many people will never again speak the word of God because it will be so scary. We can't be those people. We need to be strong and courageous. And incidentally, a note to everybody who wears a badge. Number one, God bless you for your line of work. You keep us safe. You leave the door every single day and you don't know if you're coming home. I honor that. And anybody who's right thinking honors it. All work is honorable. Some work, though, it's more dangerous than others. And if you're told to do this, you have to quit. You have to say no. You would be violating the Constitution. You will be building the infrastructure for thought control. You will be building the infrastructure for arresting people for bad think. You will be normalizing it. You will be participating in it. You will be causing it. You will be party to it. You have to quit. There are things worse than losing your job. There are things worse than dying. Being separated from God forever is worse than dying. And if you're not with God when you die, that's your fate. It's ungodly what they're doing. You cannot be part of it. So Steve, just an American. This guy works for Glenn Beck. Just a guy who's being put in prison, perhaps. Well, what did he do? It must be very serious. Well, he reported on January 6th. We can't have people going around reporting on January 6th, not when they're doing it in a serious way. But he did. Let's just think of him as Steve, just our neighbor. What's your neighbor do? Oh, he's a journalist. Okay, so what does he do? Well, he's become famous for his work on January 6th. And weren't there CNN journalists in that building? Yeah, there were. There were CNN journalists. One journalist actually walked into the building with a known Antifa member and has not been arrested. Stephen Baker had to turn himself into the FBI. And he was arrested. And here's a little bit about how this happened. This comes courtesy of Newsmax TV. Great, great reporting here. And the question was, you're not a threat, but they put you in shackles 3 years later after the footage was used in the January 6th committee itself?
Yeah, my footage has been used. HBO documentary, New York Times documentary, and by news services all over the world, what I captured that day. And of course, I've written dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of stories on this since that time in the 3 years. And more importantly, I've done more video review work inside the Capitol CCTV viewing room at the Capitol at this 41,000 hours worth of video than probably any other journalist, especially when you add in the man hours from the Blaze teams that we brought up there for weeks at a time.
So he just took footage. He didn't participate. He didn't break anything. He didn't hit anybody. He captured a moment in history that the figurehead, as he was reading from his teleprompter in his cognitively altered state, which I think was true. I think he was drugged. He said it was the worst day in American history. It was the Civil War. It was 9/11. It was Pearl Harbor, all rolled into one day. Stephen Baker walked into the Capitol, stood in a corner, and took videotape. So why are they doing this? Well, he works for the wrong organization. Plus, he has access to the wrong data and footage. We'll talk about that in a second. Question from Newsmax TV to Stephen Baker. You were cooperative. However, they marked you out with four charges that are bogus at best. How do you answer these charges?
Well, actually, they didn't come to my place, and that's because of the cooperativeness that we've given them since the first time the FBI called me back in July of 21. We submitted to a voluntary interview at that time. As a matter of fact, the FBI actually had to get permission from the United States Attorney General's office to even interview me because as a member of the press, a journalist, they can't interview a journalist without express written permission of the Attorney General's office. That's the law. It's in the statute. It's in the federal code. And so they had to seek that permission to get that interview. And then they told me in November of 21 that, in fact, they were going to charge me and that they would charge me within a week. They didn't. And then they went away for 20 months. We didn't hear from them at all. It wasn't until after I was hired by the Blaze that then they ratcheted up again, and I got a grand jury subpoena. And that was back in August of last year. And then in December, after we had rolled out blockbuster stories about perjury in the Oath Keepers trial by Capitol Police officers, special agents, by we did the work on the much of the work that you've seen on these pipe bomb stories has come right out from my team.
If you're unfamiliar with the pipe bomb stories, they're this. This is a quick synopsis of this. There's footage of the person who dropped off the supposed pipe bomb at the DNC. So they have the time. They know when that person was there. But the same techniques they've used to get grandmas and grandpas from around the country and put them in prison, even grandmas and grandpas with cancer, that was taking their cell phones and triangulating the data on when they were there with a timestamp, tracking them down and then prosecuting them and putting them in prison. They did that in hundreds of cases, but they couldn't do it somehow with the person who dropped off the pipe bomb. Want to know why? Oh, the data got lost. Darn the stinking luck. Got corrupted. Like the footage outside Jeffrey Epstein's prison cell. Got corrupted. Darn it. That happened at the same time as the Secret Service arrested their chat logs and text logs. Darn the luck. So did many FBI agents. Wow, that's unfortunate. How unfortunate that is. The other thing about the pipe bomb is when it was discovered, the police didn't respond. The Secret Service somehow missed it, didn't find it, even though it was right there under a bench. Once it was noticed, the police stood around. Cammie Harris was in that building. They didn't do anything to rush her out of there. But there's an explosive outside. There must be more. No, they didn't do that. And then there's this, and this is Stephen Baker's work. That and some other journalists, but largely Stephen Baker. The closed caption television cameras, all three of them, which are run by the police department, were turned away from the scene of the police finally doing something about the alleged pipe bomb. So when Stephen Baker goes from an independent journalist to working at one of the biggest entities on earth, Glenn Beck's The Blaze, then the FBI comes knocking. And again, this is from Newsmax TV. So Steve Baker continues discussing his voluntary self-surrender, enshackment, and incarceration with meth dealers.
And so finally they pulled the trigger after going silent on us for another couple of months last week. And they actually demanded that I turn myself in. We actually chose to do it in Dallas because I'm a North Carolina resident, actually, but I'm here at the Blaze working. And we decided to do the self-surrender, voluntary self-surrender on Friday morning. And rather than allowing me to wear a suit and tie and cooperatively walk into the courtroom as a nonviolently charged misdemeanor accused defendant, instead they had me go to the Dallas field office of the FBI, turn myself in. They put me in shackles. Then they took me downtown. The FBI drove me to the federal courthouse downtown Dallas, where the United States Marshals then put me in leg chains and belt chains and put me in a cage with actual meth dealers.
So, of course, Stephen Baker, a journalist, a peaceful man who has never harmed a person, of which I'm aware, and certainly has no criminal history for that, is Hannibal Lecter. Because he might leap at the police and eat their necks. Theater. Mark Stein, great, great, great. I don't know, you could call him a talk show host, a TV host, a singer, a writer. God has gifted him with an IQ and humor I can't even begin to describe. You probably know who he is. If you don't, find out. Mark Stein says the process is the punishment. So as this was all going on, the theater of the figurehead reading from a teleprompter in what I think is his cognitively chemically altered state, a fellow American is being told you're being punished for wrong speak. and journalists have said nothing. Question from Newsmax TV to Stephen Baker. The committee will no longer plan to blur the faces of individuals in the footage. Look, I wonder when they're going to release those depositions, too, the ones from the Sham Jan 6 committee that were, quote, deleted by accident.
Well, we're not only waiting for those. In fact, I've known about this 100 boxes of documents that the House Oversight Committee has, or admin has access to, that have not been released either. Those things need to all be scanned. They all need to be made public. These are documents, 100 boxes worth, that the Select Committee forgot to hide or forgot to burn or forgot to shred, whatever the case may be. But they have access to that. That's not coming out. The 40,000 hours worth of video has been slow rolled for reasons that I'm aware of. I've actually spoken to Speaker Johnson about this and about the blurring. And then in addition to that, we have other documents, because my work for the last couple of years on January 6th has gotten me right into the heart of the problem of what's taking place with the DOJ. And we're specifically asking for documents that we can't get our hands on because they're being blocked by powers more powerful than Congress.
Yeah.
I hope you heard the last part. Powers more powerful than Congress. Indeed, perhaps the White House, who itself is being run by a power more powerful than Congress. But it's not more powerful than the Lord Jesus. We'll continue. Back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. The Book of Lamentations, been focusing a lot on it. I have. And gosh, it's really funny. This morning I came in to do my podcast recording. We've God's money built for us what's effectively a TV studio. It's crazy. And I'm sitting in it right now. And I showed up. I don't normally do this, but I was in my Bible study this morning before coming into the program. I really try to wake with the Word of God on my mind. I'm often not successful, wake with other things. But I sat down with the Bible this morning to read, and I didn't want to read Lamentations again because I've been reading it so much. I went to the New Testament, and I've been studying Luke, and I couldn't even take in the words. I started to read a couple lines. Nope. It wasn't even making sense to me. God just blocked it. So, okay, I went back to the Book of Lamentations and I prayed, Father God, Lord, please, Holy Spirit, what do I need to know from this? And you know what he said? He said, my word alone is sufficient. That's what he said. Yes, of course, your word alone is sufficient, I say. And I read. And okay, your word is sufficient. Yes, we're going to talk about the Book of Lamentations. I promise to do this. I'm going to dedicate the podcast to it. And but yes, we had all the Biden stuff, all the State of the Union stuff. So I came into the studio and my producer was here, Nayana, and I set my work down. And, oh man, we're early. We can get ahead of some stuff. And I realized I had forgotten my computer, which I use to guide myself through the show. What sound bites are we going to play? What articles are we referencing? It's certainly not a teleprompter, but it's a guide. It's super necessary. But I brought something I've never brought to the studio before. My study Bible. God said, my word alone is sufficient. Stop your stinking computer. Use my word. Now, knowing that I needed to do this radio show and some other things, I did need my computer for that. My wife was able to bring it, but not before we began recording the program about the Book of Lamentations. And I ask you to hear me from the Book of Lamentations. Please remember that it's probably the prophet Jeremiah using the metaphor of a city as a woman. The city being the nation of Israel. How lonely sits the city that was full of people? She's become like a widow who was once great among the nations. She who was a princess among the provinces has become a forced laborer. Pause. There's $330 trillion in debt we're servicing, being forced to service through our taxes. Soon, that entire our interest on that debt will subsume all money that we earn. All of our gross domestic product will be subsumed by that. She weeps bitterly in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. She has none to comfort her. Among all her lovers, all her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They become her enemies. Pause. The UN is paying for the invasion of America. You are paying the UN to invade America. Non-governmental organizations are being given tax dollars to invade America to change our electoral politics forever. This treachery is being allowed, I think, because we turned away from God. Back to the Book of Lamentations. Judah has gone into exile under affliction and under harsh servitude. She dwells among the nations, but she's found no rest. All her pursuers have overtaken her in the midst of distress. I don't believe all our pursuers have overtaken her. It is the last verse. No, it's not the last. It's the fifth verse here that really gets me. It's chapter 1, verse 5. Her adversaries have become her masters. We pay a lot of money to service the debt from China, who also is buying up our water rights. Her enemies prosper. China has its problems, for sure. But there are enemies of our country within who are prospering. Hollywood. The family Biden. Multimillionaires. On a senator's salary. Right. For the Lord has caused her grief because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her little ones have gone away as captives before the adversary. I think about the mentally captured kids in so many government schools doing so many perverse things, like, this was surfaced by libs of TikTok, a school where teachers have a tradition of having an assembly where kids lick peanut butter from their armpits and their toes. Yeah, it's degrading. Also, it has a sexual implication to it, which is clear for anyone with eyes to see. On this program, we do a weird thing, I think. We thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
These are three sound bites that I think backs up my belief that the Lord does place these supposedly wise people on these tall towers to show off their human wisdom so we can compare it to God's. So there's three audio bites that make that point. This first one comes from a guy named Michael Beachloss, a leftist historian. You can hear him now on MSNBC.
Facing, as you said, a domestic authoritarian threat from Donald Trump and people who want to see this right. A dictatorship next year. But at the same time, he is connecting with dictators abroad, mm-hmm. Viktor Orban, Putin, perhaps the leader of Turkey, possibly elements in China and elsewhere. These people are going to lock arms and, you know, I'm only responsible for the past, not the future. But, you know, given all this, if these hostile governments would like to see Trump elected, take a look at October 2024. The chances of they're not going to make a big effort to make trouble and mm-hmm. chaos to make Joe Biden look bad. Yeah. I think those chances are very large. You know, Americans have to make a choice. We have to choose essentially between freedom and democracy mm-hmm. or worldwide slavery and dictatorship.
The left and leftist dictators like Gavin Newsom drive the dictator of China around their state after they clean up San Francisco to pretend there's no homeless people there. Gavin Newsom travels to China to hang out with Xi. Hillary Clinton created the reset button with Putin. But yes, 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 it's Orange Man Bad is the authoritarian. It is remarkable. That man might even believe what he said. Second audio bite is the woman who never had a chance to be president. She ran to slow President Trump down and to maybe be able to threaten him into making her VP. Listen to where she's at now.
These are people who want to go and see a secure border, and they don't like the fact that Trump stopped Congress from trying to fix the bill and pass a strong border bill. This is about national security, where we should be preventing war, and Trump said he would stand with Putin as he invaded our allies.
No, he didn't say he would stand with Putin as he invaded our allies. On the topic of Ukraine and that entire affair, I can only continue to point out that we caused it. I'm not defending Putin, who is a thug and a kleptocrat and a thief, as is Zelensky, a thug, a kleptocrat, and a thief. Senator Biden warned this nation, if you want Putin to react with military activity, put a NATO country on his doorstep. Well, and cause coups next to him, etc. And it's come to pass that Nikki Haley wants to pretend otherwise. She might even believe that. But I don't think so. Before we get to the last clip, some context. In December 2020, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, had some interesting things to say about protesting. What if activists aren't PR firms for politicians and their demands are because police budgets are exploding, community resources are shrinking to bankroll it, and people brought this up for ages, but it wasn't until they said defund that comfortable people started paying attention to brutality? The thing that critics of activists don't get is that they tried playing the police language policy game, and all it did was make them easy to ignore. It wasn't until they made folks uncomfortable that there was traction to do anything, even if it wasn't their full demands. The whole point of protesting is to make people uncomfortable.
Activists, you refuse to call it a genocide.
No, I need you to understand.
It's not okay that there's a genocide happening. You're not actively against it.
You're lying.
I'm lying.
You're not. Over and over again. It's up, man. And you're not helping these people.
TV.
And you're not helping them.
You refuse to.
You're not helping them.
I hope you heard this part where Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who said on December 2020, the whole point of protesting is to make people feel uncomfortable, said to protesters, I need you to understand, this is not okay. Why? Were you uncomfortable? And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
We often wrap up the show with a personal observation from me, just a way for you to get to know me. You're so kind to spend this time with us. And there's a thing I want to discuss, and I'm not sure if I should discuss it. I'm seeking right now. I'm stalling thinking about this, if I should discuss this. And so I'll cloak it. I'm admitting I'm cloaking it. Have you ever seen the behavior of someone else cause you to reflect upon things you've done in the past? Mistakes you've made? And sometimes it happens to me. And it has to do with marital relations. I am living in a state of heartache for a friend of mine. I'm crushed at what I'm seeing in a marriage. I'm crushed. I'm not hopeless because I know God can do all things. I'm angry. I have hints of one side of the story, but I observe. I wish I could speak in to the male side of this equation. I don't have license. So I've tried to gain license. I can't gain license from this man. So I pray on my knees, and God has driven me to a state of tears over this. I'm crushed. When you're so blessed by a person and you see them in such pain, it's only prayer can help, really. And in the midst of just some of these things that I observed, it was a stupid thing. It was a stupid thing. It was just at an event several months ago. And I just saw the male side of this. It's a marriage. I mean, the husband, okay. It was a kind of important night for his wife. Kind of important. He left really early. And she was left there, not alone. There was surrounded by friends who adore her. And her girlfriends to support her. And he left. I get it. People are busy. I get it. People get up early. And then God said to me, wow. Wow. Glad you noticed that, Todd. You're always the first to leave parties. And your excuse is you get up early. You do the same thing to your wife, bud. And so glad you saw that sliver in your brother's eye when you have a force of law sticking out of your own. I took my wife out for her birthday for a weekend after that, and I pledged to her, I will not be the first person to leave dinner. I will be the last. And of all the things we did that weekend, we went to a show, we had a nice, beautiful hotel room, beautiful view of the park, beautiful dinners, beautiful time together. I asked my wife, what was the favorite part of that? She goes, the fact that you weren't the first to leave dinner. In fact, I refused to leave, and my friends were getting on my nerves. They were stalling to see if they could get me to leave, and they didn't. Sometimes we do need to ask God to search our hearts. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and He was God. Until God says we can speak again together, on behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.